21st day of December 2014, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church, 1 Peter, the first chapter. We'll begin reading at verse 13 this time, instead of verse 1. We'll begin reading at verse 13 and read through chapter 2. I don't know where we'll stop, maybe 10, maybe read the whole chapter. 1 Peter. Be ye holy, for I am holy, the Bible says. Right here in 1 Peter 13, chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth off, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We'll stop reading there for today. Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word. I pray your blessings upon it, O Lord, that you might have mercy upon your servant this morning, that he might be able to feed your sheep adequately. Lord, even though his ability is puny, your power is great. And Lord, I'm nothing but a tingling brass. Except the Spirit of God come down and fill us this morning, and you enlighten the hearts of these people. Illuminate your word for them, that they may see the truth and rejoice in these wonderful truths that we've just read about. Help us now, Lord. We ask it in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We've been preaching now for several weeks on Be Ye Holy, and most of our topic has been upon sin. This morning, in the first service, we covered the first several verses in the first chapter because I did not start out reading verse 1 through 12, only started at verse 13. But it is important that we understand who the elect of God are that he's writing to here, that he says in verse 2 that he's writing to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. Now, not many preachers preach on being obedient to the Word of God anymore because it might offend somebody. And I, as you know, never did care whether it offended you or not. The Word of God is the Word of God. You can either believe it or you can not believe it and be disobedient and die and go to hell. There's nothing I can do about it. But I pray that we're believers and that we believe the Word of God, and this is the only thing that we have to go by is the Word of God. As I said, I'm only a tingling cymbal. But what the Word of God says, as you saw here, as we read it, it will endure forever. But only God's people believe that. Only the elect believe that. Only those who, through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ upon them, will ever believe that. And so he's writing that to these people. Christian people. Why is he having to tell these people to stop sinning? And that's what he's telling them. Quit being disobedient to God's commandments. You've been sprinkled with the precious blood of Jesus. You were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You did not have mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. And to me, he's kind of popping them all upside the head and saying, what are you doing? Stop sinning! That's the way I read it. When I read it, it's almost as I can hear Peter when he's preaching this to the people. Of course, he's writing it, but and he says in verse 13, since you are kept by the power of God, in verse 5, through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed at the last time, that's where the wherefore comes in verse 13. Wherefore, since you are the elect of God, you're kept by the power of God through faith. And we discussed faith this morning. If you missed the first service, you can go back and listen to it on sermon audio, or you can just miss it. And faith is like that chair, isn't it? You can grab hold to it. Isn't that what it said in Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 1? Faith is a substance. Ain't that a substance there? That pulpit's a substance. That chair is a substance. Microphone's a substance. And it says faith is substance. It's not just wishing. It's not just hanging on to Jesus comes. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. That's faith. It's a gift of God. And all of His people have it. And all of His people will have it the day they die. And all of His people will be bringing glory to God to the day they die. Will they stumble from time to time? Yes, they do. Do they have to pull themselves up out of the mire from time to time? Yes, they do. Do they get the hell beat out of them from time to time? Yes, they do. Isn't that what he said in Hebrews 12th chapter? Back up two pages. Or it's two pages in my Bible. Verse 5, chapter 12. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Are we not the Lord's children? Are we going to get whippings from God for disobedience? Absolutely. As I told you in the Sundays previous, that we take sin way too lightly. The Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, had to die and suffer the wrath of His Father being poured out upon Him because of sin. How can we commit one more? I'm talking about willfully, willingly, just commit sin against God. Knowing that the justice of God, because He is perfect and holy, and He requires perfection and nothing less. He requires perfect justice, nothing less. That's the reason God the Father will not approach sin nor a man. That's the reason the Son of God had to come, because God the Father, not having form, not having a body, but is a spirit, and is perfect in every way, will not even speak to a human, a fallen man. Nor can we come to Him. I hear people with such blasphemy, as far as I'm concerned, disregard, talk about the man upstairs. It is evident that they're either idiots or they do not know God. He is so perfect that man cannot approach Him. Man cannot get upon his knees or upon his face in humility and even cry out to the Almighty God and God hear him. He will not. He's God. And He requires perfect justice. And if you paid attention to what we read this morning, you remember that it said, through Jesus Christ, the only way we can come to the Father is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who bore our sins in His own body on the tree and imputed His perfect righteousness in our room instead. Therefore, the Father sees us blameless, not guilty, perfect, have never sinned. Therefore, we can come before Him, before the throne of grace, and ask for those things that we desire. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth,
and scorn it every son whom he receiveth.
And let me tell you something. As a boy, I learned, because my daddy didn't play, when he put the leather on your backside, you didn't get mad because he whipped you. You got glad when he finished and was off of your behind. So I didn't have to get a whole lot of whippings as a boy from my daddy, because you learned quick to behave yourself. And if children were treated that way today, all you'd have to do is the same thing my daddy had to do to me was, and that's it. If he ever done that, we already knew. We knew. The ice had done got so thin, it was fixing to break, and when it did, oh Lordy, all hell was fixing to break loose, and the hide on your behind was fixing to become very sore and red. Sweat would be running down your legs because you was fixing to get it put on you. Is that not what he said? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. That means beats. He beats every son whom he receiveth. Why is that? Why does a loving father chasten and beat his children? You say, well, preacher, they can't do that no more. It's against the law. You know how much regard I got for the law that is contrary to the Word of God. I could care less what the law says. What I care is what the Word of God says. And the reason a father will whip his child that he loves is so that that child will learn to be obedient. Why would he whip a child? Why would he want his child to be obedient? Because the Scripture says, children, obey your parents. Not because I think I'm somebody and I just want every word that I say to be obeyed. That's got nothing to do with it. I don't want my child breaking the Word of God. And the Word of God says, obey your parents. And when you put the rod of loving correction on their backside, you should let them know this is because you've broken the Word of God. You've transgressed His law. And I won't permit that. And you're going to wish you hadn't when I got through with you. You don't disobey the Word of God. And He says the same thing to us. Did we not just read, be ye holy, for I am holy? If ye endure chastening, that's discipline. That word chasten is discipline. God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. In other words, if the Lord don't chasten you, discipline you, then you're an illegitimate. You're not, God's not your father. That's what he's saying. You're illegitimate. That's what that word means, bastard means. Illegitimate. Born out of wedlock. That's a very common thing these days. The church don't even look down at it anymore. They just call it living together. The Bible calls it fornication. And it's a sin against God. Shame on preachers that will not preach the truth of God's Word. Now, back over to 1 Peter. You see, we're children. We're children of God. We're the people of God. Wherefore, since you are kept by the power of God, you are the children of God. Verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober
That means of a sound mind. Be sober. That means of a sound mind. Be of a sound mind. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children.
And I learned as a child to be obedient to my dad, or I'd get hurt. And then as I grew up, and I wanted to have my own way, and I wanted to have my own will, I decided this is what I want to do. And the disciplines began. And I'm a hard-headed child. And it took a while for the Lord to finally put it upon me to the point that I understood, yes, Lord! I won't do that no more! I'm tired of getting them whippings! I'll be an obedient child. And Lord, have mercy on me if I slip. But it won't be intentional. It won't be willful. It won't be willingly. I'm not going to tell a lie just so I can benefit from it. I'm not going to fornicate. I'm not going to adulterate. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to talk against my neighbor. What else does he say? Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. We used to live one way, and he says now that you've been brought out of the darkness into his marvelous light, so that now you can see the truth. You're the people of God. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves, not behaving yourselves according to your former lust. And we read in James this morning about lust, did we not? In James the first chapter, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot tempt with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Drawn away from the commandment of God. Now, we just read in Peter that if you call on the Father, if you call on the Father, and if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Behave yourselves. Stop sinning! So, preacher, I've never met a perfect man in my life. Never seen anybody as perfect. And guess what? You never will either. That's the reason you're going to get them chastisements. But if it don't break your heart to commit a sin, to break the commandment of God, if it don't bring tears to your eyes and hurt you inside that you mourn over your sin, you better go to the cross and find out where the problem is, because you've got a problem. Because that's a terrible, terrible thing. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all. And that's the end. No, in all conversation. Manner of is added by our translators. That means the manner of living. It uses the word conversation translated in the Old English, but that means in your manner of living, the way you live your life. Be holy. Read the book. It tells you all the way through it from Genesis to the last part of Revelation that we are to live a righteous, godly life. Apart from sin. Refuse to sin. And that comes from whippings. It also comes from love for God. For love for what he did. Now, the reason I'm bad to weep when we sang that song, Were You There, when they crucified my Lord, was because I was there. I was there when they crucified my Lord. He died in my room instead, in my place. I should have been the one that they put the stripes on my back. But he took them for me. When they pressed the crown of thorns down on his head, blood was coming from him. It should have been mine. When the Father poured his wrath out upon him when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he sweated drops of blood, it should have been mine. I was there when they crucified my Lord. I was there. It should have been me. But I wasn't worthy. My blood wasn't clean enough. And I wasn't worthy. My blood was not good enough. And all, if they'd have, why do you think people are going to burn in hell for an eternity? Because they can never pay for their sin. They're defiled, filthy, vulgar worms who are not worthy to pay for one sin against God. And they refuse what Jesus did in their room instead. They reject it. And they go about to establish their own righteousness by accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. I was there when they nailed him to the tree. I was there when they laid him in the tomb. And I was also there when they raised when he raised from the dead. And when he ascended to the Father, he did it in my room instead. It should make you weep the same way when you sin a sin against God. When you break his commandments. Because we are to live a holy life in all our manner of living, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're going to skip some of these verses now and get on down to, because I only got a few minutes left. Well, I hate to skip any of this. We'll come back to it, but for today, we're coming on down to chapter 2. You can read this, read the book. Read all of Peter, read all of James. Go back and read Hebrews. It's all wonderful stuff. Wherefore? look at verse 22 of chapter 1. Seeing ye have purified your souls, in what? In obeying the truth. Go back to Genesis and read over there and find out what God requires of men. Go to Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, the next third verse from the end, and see what God requires. He's always required the same thing. Obedience. Adam and Eve broke one commandment, and all of humanity fell from grace. Every bit of their posterity, all of their children, and everything. Why do you think Jesus wasn't born by man? Because man's seed was fallen from grace. He had to be born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. You may want to reword that. People get the wrong idea with the perversion of today. Seeing you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's a commandment. And it's something that is an evidence that you are a believer. People always say, well, how do you know you're saved? Well, do you love the brethren? I mean, do you really love the brethren? Not just say that you love them, but do you really love them? Everybody that professes to be a believer, as far as I'm concerned, I have to treat them as brethren. Unless they prove to me otherwise. And I am to love them and pray for them. If I see them in need and I'm able to help them, I am to help them. If they're hungry, I am to feed them. If they're thirsty, I'm to give them drink. And if they're naked, I'm to put clothes on their back. If I'm physically able to do it. That's love. You love the brethren. It's a commandment. Wherefore, since you are these people, and verse 23 says, being born again, since you've been born again, and the word of the Lord endures forever, wherefore, laying aside all malice. What is malice? Evil. Wickedness. Look up them words. You got a Strong's Concordance? If you don't, there's one right there. Take it home with you. Look up those words so you'll know the meaning of them. Don't swap over to some other translation. Say, well, I just don't understand the King James. Well, get a dictionary! Because I'm still gay! If you look it up in Webster's 1828 edition, I'm still gay! If you go by one of these new sodomite dictionaries, I'm not that gay. Malice means evil and wickedness. Wherefore, laying aside the evil, what's evil? Anything that's contrary to the Scriptures. And all guile, what's guile? Deceit. You don't want to be deceitful to anybody at any time. Why? Because that means you're what? The next word on the list. A hypocrite! What's a hypocrite? Somebody that says they're one thing, but they're not. Deceitful. And envies. What's envies? Now, these are commandments of God. This is God's word that says you lay these things aside. That's ill will to envy somebody else. That's to have ill will toward them. Self-gain. And all evil speakings, meaning against your neighbor, defaming somebody else to make you look better. We don't do that. Christian people don't do that. And Peter's having to tell these people who are born again, give them instructions again that God gave them in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, did we read James 1:22? Did we read that? No, we did not. James 1:22. Matter of fact, let's start at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Did you really need the book to tell you that? That the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. I'm glad it's in there. Wherefore, lay apart all, there's that word again, filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But, always has to be a but, don't they? But, don't just do that. Don't just lay apart or put aside all filthiness and naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, because people will tell you all the time, you ask them, you believe the word? Oh yeah, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I believe the word of God. What did he say? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So you can read it, you can know it, you can preach it,
You can witness about it. You can do whatever you want to do. But if you're not a doer of the word, what are you doing? Deceiving your own self. Because guess what? Faith, verse 20 of chapter 2. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Yes, people, they got, oh yeah, I got faith in the Lord. I believe in the Lord. The faith without works, James said, is dead faith. You can say all you want. There are evidences in the Scriptures that tell a man or woman, a child of God, supposedly, a professor of Christianity, if he is or if he ain't a child of God. There are evidences there. Do you love the brethren? That's an evidence that you're a child of God if you love the brethren. I mean, really love them. Are you a doer of the word? Do you read the word enough to know it? And then after you know it, do you do it? That faith without works is dead. And it goes on to tell you about Abraham's ordeal with God, how that God tried him, tested him, and proved him. When he said, Abraham, go kill your boy. Sacrifice him to me. And the next thing we read over there is, in Genesis is Abraham with a knife fixing to cut Isaac's throat. He said, okay, stop. Stop, Abraham. The Lord didn't stop. God didn't stop. Thank the Lord. And did I read Hebrews 12:1? Hebrews 12:1. Did I read that? Oh yeah. Hebrews 12:1. Just back up a few pages from 1 Peter there. About 3 pages. Wherefore, if you're familiar with chapter 11 of Hebrews, it tells about all the great witnesses, not all of them, but many of the great witnesses of the Old Testament. It tells about Enoch and Abel. It tells about Noah and Abraham and Sarah and all many of the old prophets in the Old Testament. It tells about their great faith. And it says, wherefore, in chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Isn't that what it says? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, when Jesus lived on this earth, he lived by faith too. If you think he didn't, just go read the 17th chapter of John. And read when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And tell me he didn't live by faith. Faith that God was going to do what he promised he would do. And I know this, as a child of God, I know that God is going to do. He is going to keep the covenant that he made with me. And the Bible says that he made an everlasting covenant with me. And he's going to keep it.
I have great confidence in that. He's going to keep it. And since the Lord Jesus Christ, being our example, looking unto Jesus, He says, let us lay aside every weight. What is a weight? Oh, you know what a weight is. We used to tie them on our ankles when we was in football practice and track. When we ran track, we tied weights on our ankles so that it would weigh us down. So that when we took them off, we'd feel lighter. Weights. You know what a weight is. Things that hold you back. Things that keep you from accomplishing what you want to accomplish and what you need to accomplish as far as a Christian is concerned. Like the cares of this world. And Santa Claus. The love of this life. Jesus said, except you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Did you hear what he said? Except you deny yourself. Self what? Self will? Self wants? What you want? Are you willing to give it all up? Give up your will, give up your way, and bow to God and say, Lord, whatever your will is. The Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul wanted to kill Christians. He wanted to have them put in prison. He wanted to stamp out Christianity off the face of the earth till he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Lord, who art thou? He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he never looked back. They stoned him to death and drug him outside the city and left him for dead. And God raised him up and he went right back in the city. You see, he gave up his life and his will. And he said in Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul did. Every believer is to deny himself, his own will, and follow Christ. And to follow Christ is to be obedient to the Word of God. I pray it will have an impact upon you in the rest of your life. Our God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your wonderful grace and your mercy. I thank you for your Word. Lord, it is so good. It is so beneficial to your people. There's such power there. And there's such comfort there. And there's such light, knowledge there for us to live by and to grow by. And, I thank you for the faith that you've given your people. I pray, O Lord, you'd have mercy upon us. Forgive us for our shortcomings and forgive us where we fail thee. Have mercy and strengthen us in the inner man, O God, that we might be holy as you are holy. And I ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. The Lord bless you. It's good to see you.